Live from Studio 3, this is Packaging Today with Evelio Matos, Adam Peel, and Corey Connors.
Hey, what's up, everybody? How's it going? It is Monday, April 15th. It's tax day.
Boo!
Damn, I hate tax day. You know, you know what I say to tax day?
The devil's in the house of the rising sun.
Give him that.
Devil's in the house of the rising sun.
I agree.
That's what I feel.
It's the spurts at the end that make this funny.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, at first I was upset, and then I decided to not be upset about things that I can't control.
Yes.
And since I don't have the power of teleportation to go over and stop that, just
stoic,
just over there.
Yeah.
And then right on back. I can't stop you from doing it. I can only hope to contain you.
Mm. Oh man. All right, man. So we got a lot of stuff to get to today. We've got a guest coming on. We got Alex Abbott coming on from Smart Solve, who's going to tell us how to make packaging disappear. Like, right.
Poof.
Yes. Like
the superpower.
They should call it Poof.
Remember that Jack Black movie?
Yeah.
That's right? Awesome. Yeah. Where he came
Where's
up with
the poo go?
With the
Envy.
Envy.
Yeah. Envy. That's right.
We've got a real solution where packaging basically goes poof.
Yeah, but I don't think it's going to cause toxic rain to rain down on the world or whatever the
end. No, but we get to find out where the packaging disappears too, because I think that's important.
Yes.
Other stuff in the packaging news at the moment, we got P&G recalls like 8 million laundry detergent packets because of packaging defects. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Yes.
You know,
child resistant packaging, defective. Yeah. That's a real issue, major problem. I hope everyone's okay.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, you shouldn't be eating detergent, but.
Right. Well, the kids these days.
I know. Yeah. The TikToks are getting them all. I do think there's an important point with all of this, which is Procter & Gamble is a large company.
Mm.
If you haven't heard. Mm-hmm. And they employ some of the best packaging engineers in the world, right? They've got a great team of people there. And still these issues can occur, right? And so if you are not Procter & Gamble, or if you are Procter & Gamble in this case, it is so critically important to understand and to go through like every level of testing, you know, cross every T, dot every lowercase J, and, you know, get people involved who can tell you
the J's
exactly,
are the key.
Exactly what's going to happen. What was that movie where he's like, was it Austin Powers? I think it was Austin Powers where he's like, I'll make sure to cross every T and dot. And the guy had like a fake eye and he's like, every lowercase J.
No, for sure. Right. Like if you're a startup, there's like everything is against you when it comes to packaging.
Right.
Like the last thing you think about is your packaging. Then you don't realize how much it's going to cost. Mm-hmm. And then you're trying to rush through it. And sometimes it's
minimum orders. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, you know, like we dealt with like Pistachio. They ordered the packaging via Alibaba, so there's no real support there. It's like, this is what we can do. Here's what we can get for the cheapest. And they're not even testing it. They're not even checking. And that happens totally, a lot of startups, right?
Totally disappointed with it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. We got Brandon Jones coming in.
What's up, Brandon Jones? You know
Brandon? We need dose Brandons.
Yeah, we need Brandon number two, too.
Hey, Gene.
And then we got Gene. Yeah, we do need adult packaging for snacks. I need somebody to...
Locked down at 10 p.m. Like,
yeah,
no more peanut butter filled pretzels for you. I'm like, I can't get it open. My dad bod will not take care of itself.
This is a good idea.
That's a great idea. I love it.
What else we got?
Can open for you. You have to like shamefully like wake up your children. Like,
can you open this?
Please open up. Can you open up snacks?
For me? Hungry again.
I'm hungry again.
What do we got happening? What else we got going on in packaging? I see Delaware's got a plastic ban that they're proposing. And so, all right. So what happens when a state proposes a plastic ban, a plastic packaging ban?
There's a lot of questions. Like,
what do they fail? What do they fail to see?
How are people going to eat? That would be my first question.
Because we have France try that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think somebody said the problem with plastics is that they're too good. Like, they work too well. They are easy. They're cheap to make. They do a great job of protecting, especially things like, you know, fresh food. They do an awesome job. It's a really great material, except that it's ending up in places it's not supposed to.
Yeah.
And that is, whoa.
Right, here we go.
Ryan Fox comes in with the hot take.
Boom. 100%. From the corrugated guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, we've talked about this before, right? Like, I work for a company that really, really, really wants to see. You know, I work for a paper-based packaging company. I don't sell plastic. Ryan works for, you know, the Fox's boxes and does like all sorts of studies on corrugated materials. Yeah. You know, Andrew makes us make TikTok videos about we're a packaging nerd. So, I mean, you have all these people, but it's insane. Like, medical device, pharma, OTC, food and beverage. Like, you have to go.
Here's the problem. Right. Like, if you say if you're pro plastic, you know, if like, you know, we've got a couple of people who live the, you know, plastic is fantastic life.
Buy plastic. Hashtag. Fantastic. Not our hashtag, by the way. But hashtag, we love Jake.
Hashtag Wayne. Not ours. Hashtag packaging today.
Yeah, but there are people that really, you know, there are people that sell plastic and then everybody accuses them of, all right, well, this is big plastic. You know, this is big oil pushing plastic, blah, blah, blah. These anti-plastic bills are being pushed by who's going to benefit from this?
The politicians.
The paper-based companies are kind of focusing. Like, for this, it's called Senate Bill 263. In Delaware, it's going to eliminate the plastic rings on beverages, and it has to then shift to fiber-based. It's not one's not better than the other necessarily. Obviously, we grew up knowing that learning that the rings catch ducks and, you know, and fish in them and they die. Mm-hmm. Right. I don't know. I've never seen I've never bought a fish at the grocery store with like a ring of soda around its neck. But
like, yeah. Someday. Yeah.
I think that would be processed out before you
but you know, moving to a paper-based one, who's going to benefit from this? It's paper. And really what the question is, what's the best for the consumer and what's the best for the actual product?
Right.
Yeah.
Got to have a shelf life. It's got to have consumers in America want to see the item that they're purchasing. And this is something I've had conversations with. In Europe, they don't care as much about being able to see. They trust that the blue box has the right pasta in it and they don't need to have a plastic window. Yeah. But here in the US, we need it. And I think
we don't
less
trust.
Trusting. Yeah.
Like, I'll give you an example. So I'm going to do a little fun study using Compass by their Triax LCA software. Mm-hmm. And I've got this, I tore it off, but I left it in here. I've got a stand-up pouch of Wellaments, gummy vitamins, and I had some Smarty Pants gummy vitamins. And I'm going to run like a comparative LCA on these two, just, you know, to do a comparison. But I'm looking at these like, well, what's the paper-based alternative for something like gummy vitamins? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know what the paper-based alternative would be that would allow you to not go bad.
Yeah, you do one of those Poboco paper bottles, right? That would have like super hot before, and we haven't seen those at market yet.
The ones with plastic on the inside?
Yeah, exactly.
Aluminum. Yeah.
Aluminium.
Is this banned just for single use plastic bags, or is this banned for all?
It's not packaging? not super clear.
Yeah. Which also didn't go well, by the way. The single use banning the single use plastic bags has not been a great policy. Like, I don't understand. Well, I mean, it's just a political issue. It's not it's not one that's really rooted in like what is objectively better. It's one that's rooted in how do I think it's how do I score political points? And one of those things is like plastics are bad, and so let's ban them, and then we can run and say we banned plastics while you know people can't.
I get the thought behind it, but when they ban a single use plastic grocery bags, the sales of garbage can liners spikes. So we're just replacing one with the other,
yeah,
and increasing our carbon footprint with something that, you see pictures of people with 150 reusable grocery bags in their closet because they forget them every time and they have to buy a new one. So we need to look at this differently.
I will quote, if we're talking about politics, I'll leave this with a quote from a politician that, I don't know, people may like or not, but Ronald Reagan once said, if you want more of something, subsidize it. And if you want less of something, tax it, which is where I think a lot of these EPR bills are coming in saying, we're not going to ban plastic. We just want less plastic. And so we're going to make it cost more. You know, the argument's obviously like, well, the cost is just going to be passed on to lower and middle income Americans and it effectively works like a tariff. I don't think there's the answer to this is like, stop buying crap. I don't know. But you can't like enforce that. So since we have to meet market demands, I think that there is a really important role for government. I just don't think it's an all-out ban on a material that is necessary. It's an absolute necessary material for the way in which our current environment is going. What's John say here?
Yeah, so pretty much we want to look at the past that for solutions that don't include plastic. And I would say, you know, if we talk about Fred, you know, like Fred Richards, who just was in the news recently, he's launching this and crazy plastic experiment that he's done. But he's got this Museum of Packaging in Chicago. And one of the things he always says is like, if I go through historically all the packaging that I have from you know, all around the world, it's like you don't see plastic at all up until like the 80s. It's like when you start seeing it. There's definitely solutions, but there was also
packaging could dissolve. We should talk about that.
Well, that's the thing, right? It's like, how do you make your packaging go away? But we can't, you know, if we look too far back in the past, you know, there was a lot of people weren't necessarily living to 100 like they are today.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. We've increased our global population from like a billion people to almost, it'll be 10 billion people in a very short period of time. Like I think it's just been hard for it's hard to keep up with that, honestly. Like what's the answer? Like there's no easy answer to be like, we want to help global climate change by population control. Like, oh my gosh, like we just are getting at all sorts of weird ethical stuff there. It's like,
I'm all for it.
Wow, hot take. Can we clip that one? I'm missing in Devil's Doing Avelio talking about global population control.
You know, I miss the good old days when there was 8 billion people. You know,
yeah. Well, let's bring on our guest.
All right,
so we were all set up with Corey, and then we had to go to population
control. All right, so big issue, tons of packaging. How do you get rid of it? Plastic packaging, can we replace it? We got our buddy Alex Abbott coming on from SmartSolve. Who should I do that Rising Sun as an intro for him, or just go ahead and bring him up?
Please don't.
All right. So we got Alex Abbott. He's the CRO at SmartSolve. Alex, how's it going, man?
Going well. You can do any intro you want. I'll find it very entertaining.
What does CRO stand for?
It stands for Chief Revenue Officer. That's a title that grew in popularity really kind of at the end of COVID and since. And philosophically, the idea of the title as VP of Sales has been around for a long time, which essentially means player coach for all selling activities. And the differentiation with CRO is that plus you are empowered and encouraged to build the entire organization, any department, in a way that it needs to be aligned with growth. So you're actually not just Alex, doing, yeah.
Sorry, it's incorrect. It's Chief Recycling Officer. Yeah. I don't know. I was
new title.
I've been meaning to break it to you. Your people called my people and were like, when you have him on, can you please set him straight? Because he's been telling people that he's our chief revenue officer. And
that'd be a good thing to have a duplicate title or a double title on card. That'd actually be pretty funny. But since we sell dissolvable materials, there'd be some explaining to do with that. So
it's true. But you do have like some APR certifications on labels and some other things that help enable recycling. So it's not as though you're entirely disconnected. But so tell us a little bit about, I don't know, Avelio, you're the mastermind here. Do you have some wonderful questions for Alex? We have about 15 minutes here. I don't want to go full like podcast host. Like, tell me a little bit about yourself. Let's get to the stuff that matters.
All right, here's the thing. Smart solve. It dissolves.
Right.
Where does it go? What happens to it?
Yeah, so Smart Solve is really the leader in water-soluble packaging anywhere. And Corey's got a copy of the world's first ever water-soluble tampon wrapper. A company, Daye, out of the UK, has taken this commercial. It's in the market, over 100,000 users in the UK. They just got into Boots and also just got FDA approval for the States. So they're growing rapidly. But their founder and CEO, Valentina, she wants to see this become a standard for all femcare tampon wrappers. She is holding this with an open hand, which I think is so awesome and culturally correct for where our industry is at. So we would like to talk to any and all other femcare brands about this ready solution, but it's a good example of where does it go. So our material, being water soluble, is a wood-based material, FSC certified, and it's drain safe. That's the mind bender. That's the booth. As a sales guy, I've done plenty of dog and pony shows. This is probably the best dog and pony show I've ever had because people just are shocked when they see it. So the material expands in water. And then it also, with just a little bit of agitation, goes away. But we pass the same testing that toilet paper does to go down a sink, a toilet, anything. We pass it with flying colors. They just don't list us there because we are a different product, but it is drain safe. And that's the way that we create zero waste.
Is it drain and sewage? Like if you were to take that wrapper and just flush it down your toilet, what would happen to it?
Yes. If you take it down the toilet, it's going to break into extremely small wood-based fibers, very, very small, that will flush down. They're not going to clog up. That's a question we get frequently, is what about the municipalities? Pump trucks are expensive, et cetera, et cetera. They're not going to see any of that. It breaks down to very, very flushable small fibers. So literally the experience is you use the package and there's no waste paper basket. There's no recycling. It's done. It's over. And we're not as boastful to think that, hey, we're going to replace XYZ and this is what should be used for everything. No, but we do think that water soluble is understudied, underconsidered, and we can become an extremely valuable niche. And as a company that's just past the startup stage and is solid and is scaling, that's a pretty exciting vision.
Yeah. And then just question from Jamie Lee Greenland. How's it affected by heat and humidity?
Great common question too. Appreciate that. So it's much more durable than people commonly perceive. And the way I define that is very cold to very hot does great. And then also warm's fine.
Terrible.
Warm's fine. And then also humidity.
San Diego, you can't use this in San Diego. Yeah. If the weather's perfect, it's unusable.
Well, but I don't know if anybody's
July, you're great.
Yeah, who can survive New Orleans or Vegas in July? Nobody, but right. You know, the material will. So, and then also humidity is fine too. It's just what we call accidental splashing, where it gets actual water on the material and then it will do what it's created to do.
So, awesome. All right. So if it's humid and you're sweaty and you handle it with, no, like seriously, right?
Yeah.
You know, there's some sweaty people. I've shaken some sweaty hands.
Yeah, like
does it start dissolving at that
point? Wash-off labels have become extremely successful in like beverage, as an example. We do not want to get into beverage. The condensation of that life cycle is not friendly to us, right? So that would not be a market we would look to serve in that way. So yeah, you're correct to ask if there's some condensation, some water in the life cycle, not the best fit. But packaging, I always like to analogize to the ocean in terms of market sizes, right? It's really, really, really big. So even if there's a few areas that we can't play in, there's plenty to play in.
So I brought these guys up. I was just talking before the show about, like, we got a stand-up pouch. We got a rigid container with a label on it. If I recall, you are either working on or have a flexible packaging solution and also a label solution from your website and a paper solution. So it seems like there are various packaging formats. How does that work with I get the label, right? Because you need to get this label off of this container before it goes through recycling. But what happens with like a flexible bag? I mean, you can't just flush this down the toilet, right? That would be crazy. It seems like. Yeah. I don't know.
No, thank you for the question. And I'll try to briefly answer it. Yeah. So today our existing technologies do not have a barrier, which are labels, pouch, and face stock. They do not have a barrier. We are getting hopefully very close to APR approval on our labels. And that's getting keen interest in the market because people don't want paper-based from a recycling perspective, but then wash off the material skims it floats to the top and you have to skim it as well. So there's a lot of interest in terms of if our material is approved, then this makes the whole MRF process much, much easier. So we're working on that. But yeah, going forward, we do have a patent that we believe is going to provide significant growth, which allows us to combine our water-soluble paper material with any and all bioresins. Why is that important? Now we can have barrier in our product. And barrier allows us to enter into the flexible packaging market as a raw substrate rolled material provider. And that's a pretty exciting future. So yeah, if you ask, it's very exciting. We look to come out with stock specs very late this year for entry into the market next year, and are looking for development partners now and have development partners now. But yeah, as you look at it, I think the most ready opportunity for that new technology is probably the one-time use smaller packages that are super friendly towards the dissolvability, the drain safe. You know, if you take a large landscaping bag or something like that, that's probably going to be harder from a consumer perspective to say, "Hey, let me throw it in the laundry sink." Right, exactly. You just brought up stick packs, you know, instant coffee stick packs, I think are great. Liquid IV, single use food items is what we're targeting. We are targeting food package, single use items. There's a lot of waste, a lot of sachets, opportunity.
Yeah.
Sachets. And then we also know, because we get a lot of market interest in our developing now, we also know all the household cleaning and laundry segments are a great fit too, because their life cycle is around and with water.
Okay. We got five minutes on the clock here. Let's kind of go through a couple of these questions before we get to those questions. So you're talking about food safe packaging, single use. Can I dissolve this and eat it?
No, it is not ingestible. We are not there. But I would ask the question, why do you want to eat it? That's the question I always ask.
Well, if you have liquid IV or something, right?
Right,
I mean, you just dropped it in the water and then the packaging dissolved and then you shake it, whatever. That would be pretty awesome.
If we put gluten-free on it, somebody probably would eat it.
Yeah. Oh my God. All right, so let's do like a lightning round set of questions here. We got Ethan Meyer asking, can we just make these into wipes? I think he's thinking.
Yeah.
He's just saying it's cool that it's not going to cause blockage over time.
I'm reading between the lines. He wants to wipe it.
Yes. So wipes is super intriguing, super intriguing. That was where our new patent, new technology would come forth. We would have to develop the right answer for that because wipes are wet in the package, right? So we would have to develop in accordance to that. But it's super intriguing, but it would require a brand, an organization who says, we want to be crazy disruptive, even if we have to invest and develop this for a little bit, but we see that.
Yeah, 100%. That's, you know, so many different wipes out there that don't, you know, that do create issues.
Yeah, dude wipes, you know, that'd be incredible if they said, hey, we got an R&D budget. Let's start thinking big. That'd be amazing.
Yeah. We got Jamie Lee asking, you know, if it's splash, will anything leach into the actual tampon, which I think is a great question.
It's a great question. And no, just a splash, just an accident, you know, one off is fine. It can handle that. It's when it's getting water that's actually sitting and residing with the material. That's when it becomes an issue. And then just only because that question was about tampons, in that market, a quietness of the material for privacy is huge. And our material also does very well from that no crinkling noise, which is very significant in that market.
But when it gets wet though, does it attach itself? Like if it did get wet, is it going to like attach itself to the tampon, or is it just going to, is the packaging going to start, you know, breaking down?
No, the packaging is going to start breaking down. It's going to start pulling apart.
Okay. Got it.
Then Chris asking if it'll survive a gym bag or backpack.
Yes, I would assume so.
Unless you're swimming, right? Unless you're putting your wet swimsuit in or something.
Yeah, exactly. No, yeah, it is absolutely more durable than people perceive.
Okay, what kind of shelf life for the label?
I need to give him $5 for asking that question. Maybe 20, you can't buy anything with $5 anymore. It does really well. The shelf life, we have a trade secret adhesive that gives us a 12-month shelf life where our competitor has a 6-month. And that very amazing. Directly wins us business. We have a piece of business coming to us right now, and it very directly was tied to that. So
the 12 labels are thermal. Are they thermal transfer labels primarily?
We have direct thermal and pressure sensitive. We have both. Yes. And so the labels, they do well with proper storing conditions, which are kind of standard industry stuff. There's nothing too exciting about that.
Okay.
Yeah. Returnable is a great idea, by the way. You know, think about like industrial pallets and returnable packaging that can just be rinsed and washed off.
And yeah, we're trying to talk to Corey about the Jarbo, his returnables and reusables. It's awesome. We have a lot of interest from folks who want to use returnable and reusable packaging because the label technology is super mature and has been used in that market in the back of house food space for decades and is proven. It just goes in the dishwasher and you go again. There's no wiping of the material or the adhesive. So returnable, reusable, perfect space for our label technology.
Yeah.
Exciting.
And then, all right. So then if we're printing.
That was an awesome question.
Yeah.
Degrading while wiping. That was a fantastic question. I'm still not old enough for that not to be funny. So
yeah.
Same.
Yeah.
All right. So then if we're printing on these, are we limited? What are the limitations on printing in, you know, oil, solvent, water?
Are we gonna see any degradation
or what happens?
So the water soluble paper material prints just as well as paper. It prints very well. So digital is a ready application, and then also flexo. The thing that catches people is water-based inks are best for our material, not UV-based. And that seems to be counterintuitive because it's water-soluble material. But water-based flexo ink or digital.
Hey, guys, I got to go. Have a good day.
Thanks, Corey.
Thanks so much, buddy.
Corey's gone. Finally.
Yeah. Corey's good. He had no problem dropping us. Did you see how easy that was?
Yeah. He's like, see you guys.
He doesn't care.
All right. Yeah. No, that's awesome, man. And then you've got a couple of different weights, right? So you've got some, I think it's like
thickness,
180.
Thickness,
yeah.
Yeah, thickness plays a big part of it depending upon what application you need. And then also, again, with the patent, the biomaterials plays a part into that. But yes, there's different options and avenues regarding thickness.
Okay. And then now we're just talking about paper that's going to dissolve, go away. And if I throw it in the recycling bin, it's not a big deal because it'll just go through the process in the, you know, pulping, it'll just dissolve. Two things. One, you can also add product into it, right? So you can make this like a soap. You can make this into other things besides labels, right? On your videos, you've got some examples here of like somebody washing their hands. They put the paper in there and it turns into soap.
Yes. Yeah. Right. And there's also an application in the shower where it turns into soap. Mm-hmm. And then you drop the pouch to the drain. You walk in with a product, you walk out with nothing.
And then, of course, confidential documents, right? Like,
yes, confidential on stuff. YouTube. Yes, yeah. So, no, it's very true. And I think one part of this is a very macro point, but I'd like to make it. I grew up in this industry at a wonderful, impressive company, very global, impressive, large company, rigid, mm-hmm. flexible, all of it. I grew up on the rigid plastic side. You will never hear me. I'm very convicted about this. You will never hear me speak against recycling. It's a mm-hmm. great part of the equation. What I do say is our industry as a whole needs more and additional solutions than recycling. And I think a huge part of that macro answer is less persistent materials. A lot of the materials we use today are persistent. So now we're asking companies and brands and consumers to solve the problem downstream. And if you look at the recycling rates and the compostability rates, if the efficacy rate is tiny, it's single digits. So what can we do to become more effective as an industry? And I think the answer is less, part of the answer is a big problem, big opportunity. Part of the answer is less persistent materials at the beginning, and water soluble can play into that niche very well.
You're like the opposite of infinite.
Well, I like limited, you know.
Well, I don't know. Like what, when we're talking about different paper and the different thicknesses that you have available, you said it was FSC certified. So are these short fibers? Are these long fibers? What do we, you know, what's left?
Would be happy at our trade show. We literally have just a glass bowl of water and drop our material in there and let people see what happens. And so they can see it for themselves. And everybody just stops. I assure you, it's hilarious. But it turns into very small wood fibers, very, very small. And again, they're so small that they move with water from a flushability movement plate. Very easy. It's not a clump. It's not something that sticks. It's very small particles.
Would you say, Alex, that it's on the paper side, because paper, you know, the thickness of paper is one thing, but the rigidity often comes from the strands. So like a recycled post-consumer recycled paper, that's 20 point versus an SBS 20 point is going to, the rigidity and the stiffness is going to change pretty dramatically. So on that scale, are you closer to the post-consumer recycled strands where the strands, when the paper is formed, are they pretty small, which, or are they, you know, tell me a little bit about the rigidity of the paper, not just, you know, not just the thickness of it.
Yeah. So and it directly relates to the thickness. So the less thick is, the less rigid it is. Our pouch material, which is our thinnest material, you know, it's less rigid. It's very small strands. And then if you go up to a 17 point paper or something like that, that's pretty thick. That's going to become, you know, more rigid as it goes.
Yeah. And I think the point I was trying to get to was like, if you like tissue paper, right? We can, in tissue's got really short fiber that can, you know, you can put that in the recycling bin. It'll go through the process. Those fibers are so small that they'll be filtered out. Right. And if we've got longer fibers, then those will get caught up and those will be then transported and, you know, be turned back into another product. If this goes through the recycling, are these fibers long enough that they can actually be turned back into something? Not like we're collecting 100% of this, but or is it all just going to go away?
So yeah, even just last week at the SBC, that was one of the questions we got when people were impressed with the drain safe aspect of it. But then the question was, what about circularity? You know, how's this work? Where does it go? And so it goes down the drain and ends up becoming bacteria food for wherever it goes. And that's the circularity aspect of it, given that it's a wood-based item.
Okay. Yeah, I remember when... I remember there's a company that was called Plated. When those guys first started, you know, we started talking about like some of these dissolvable foams and product like that, where they're like, yeah, you can just put it in your sink and it just dissolves. And it's like, you test it and it just becomes like this gummy mess. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the idea is like, okay, what if an entire building in New York is ordering this product and they're putting it down their drain? Like what's going to happen to the plumbing and the piping? Right. And those are questions that people are like, well, you know, as we move into more of these dissolvable products, are we thinking that far down? But this stuff here is like, it's not like gummy and gross. It just goes away.
No, not at all. And the great thing about our material is anyone can test it. Anyone can try it. They can see for themselves. And I've had multiple occasions where I walk into a customer or prospect and they say, let me go do this myself. And they take it to their kitchen in the office, slap it on a coffee cup or a tumbler and say kind of, it's kind of a prove it mentality. And then they're just astonished when they turn the water on and it does it for themselves. And I'm like, I might as well go home. You know, I don't need to do anything else at this point. So yeah. And then the other question is, what happens if this becomes highly effective and we're flushing all of this material down? You know, is it just going to turn into lumps and waterways and that kind of things? And we certainly don't believe so. In fact, it would be really compelling to compare that against what we are currently doing today with plastic. So I would just say to that piece, would say, let's try it. Let's see.
Yeah. Excellent. I think last question here, in a bag, does it act like LDPE or HDPE?
That's a good question. What do you think they mean by that specifically?
What do you mean by that, Jamie? Jamie Lee?
I would imagine it, you know, the barrier properties are different between, you know, low density and high density.
High density is stiffer. Low density is much more flexible. So I'm guessing that's where the question is coming from. The plastic squeeze tube is a great example of that. Mm. The polyethylene feels great in your hand. Squeezeability, usability, and the polyethylene.
Zipper tear, she said. How does the zipper tear? Yeah.
In terms of a bag, we would have to develop that, and we would want to do it with an eco-friendly zipper. So for some pretty neat ideas around that. But we believe that it is flexible enough to behave well in that environment, but we have not launched one of those materials yet.
Yeah. Excellent. All right. So then if anybody's interested in learning more about SmartSolve, what's the best place they can go and find out?
Yeah, so I'm easy that way to get a hold of alex@smartsolve.com. alex@smartsolve.com would be the best place to go, and I absolutely will get back to you.
Awesome. And then is there a product on the market right now that's using SmartSolve that you can share? We can go test.
Yeah, the best example is the water-soluble tampon wrapper. That would be a great example for anyone who wants to see that. And in the label market, it's used commonly with food rotation for dissolvability. And then as far as pouch stock, a lot of growing interest there for dry products that don't need barrier. And one example of that would actually be for healthcare companies using it for a blood coagulant, where they drop the powder on the floor to clean up blood. And then there's no waste, no residual with the pouch stock either.
Crazy. It's insane.
But gentlemen, thank you so much for having me. This is fun. Happy just to chat with you guys anytime. I appreciate what you do. I appreciate your passion for the industry. It's needed. I think the single best thing about our industry right now is how open we all are. Plenty of us are crazy competitive, but it's turned into a different thing where we all can be competitive, but share information, share knowledge, because the opportunities are so big and we just need to go forward as an industry. And I really like that about our industry right now.
Yeah, for sure. Jamie Lee's asking what brand tampons. It was Day, right? D-A-Y-E?
D-A-Y-E, Day.
Perfect. And then Brandon Jones is coming in saying he couldn't be more excited to go buy some tampons.
Babe, check these out.
There's plenty of jokes to make, Brandon, so I'm glad you make one. Thank you for doing that. There's plenty to make, so I appreciate it.
All right. Awesome, guys. Thank you guys so much. I appreciate you guys joining us, asking so many questions. Always love the questions. Alex, thank you so much for coming on and answering these. Killer product. I can't wait to get my hands on some more of this stuff and keep dissolving it and testing it, because the fun part for me is like, what else can we do with it? Right. Coming up with some weird off the wall.
So much. Solution. I think it's not what can we do with it. It's where do we focus on. There's so much that can be done. So it's more about finding a fit that we want to make happen and working on it. But thank you guys so much.
And 100%. Thanks for nothing, Corey, for leaving us early.
I know you left us high and dry.
Jeez.
Raw dogged us out of here. All right. See you guys.
Live from Studio 3, this is Packaging Today with